Good afternoon to all from downtown Tyler, Texas, and the West Irwin Church of Christ office of Bill Allen. Glad to have you joining in. This is a Facebook study that we do every Tuesday, Thursday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central Time. Glad to have you joining along. We're working through a daily Bible reading tool, the best one that I've ever come across, called the Daily Bible in Chronological Order. It is edited and compiled by F. Ligard Smith. And we find ourselves in the Psalms, one of my favorite books, probably my favorite book, the Gospel of John, but kind of a three-way tie for second is the book of Job, interestingly enough, the book of Romans, probably not much of a surprise there, and the book of Psalms. Love Psalms, love the honest hearts that share, and we're going to be reading from some of those today because we are looking this week at the Psalms of a Troubled Soul. There are a lot of them in the 150 Psalms that we have recorded in our book of Psalms. I'm going to go through about eight or so of those today, and there, don't get scared about that because most of them are short. There's one of them that's kind of long. So nice to see my dear sister and friend Tia Clark. Good to see you, and also my great friends Cindy and Eric Mosley. Nice to see y'all here at the start. Glad to have you joining in. We have a lot of people that watch every week, and a few of them will say something about it, and I appreciate that, but just glad to have you joining in and getting in the Word. That's what it's all about. So let's do exactly that. We're going to be looking, as I said, at several Psalms. The first one is Psalm 62, and we'll start there, and we'll go a little bit forward. The last one we'll look at is Psalm 121. Which we have a wonderful hymn in our old hymn books about. But let's work on Psalm 62 first. I'm going to read through these, make a few brief comments along the way, and you'll recognize some statements in these psalms. Some of them even find themselves in the story of Christ on the cross. So starting at Psalm 62, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Again, these are psalms that Ligard Smith calls psalms of a troubled heart. And when you're troubled because of the external circumstances or the people around you or the difficulties of life, where do you turn? Well, you turn to the Lord. And the psalms are a great place to do that. "Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress." We read, "I will never be shaken." The psalm continues, Psalm 62. "How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse." Obviously, King David was under attack. He was under attack probably in a military way, in a sense, but also in a political way. We're very familiar with that, whether you're talking about governments or whether you're talking about your own life and friends and work environment or family members. This is certainly a very common critique that we read here. "With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse." Too many times we find that true in our own lives. "Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Over and over again, he affirms that. "Surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie." That's, you know, there's, whether you're rich or poor, great or unknown, the human condition is the same for everybody. "If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard." That's a little bit of the poetry side of these psalms. "One thing I have spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And You reward everyone according to what they have done. Well, that's a great statement, isn't it? Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. Power, unfailing love, and also, of course, mercy. Your reward, everyone, according to what they have done. Scripture tells us that in many places, Ecclesiastes 12, 2 Corinthians 5, other places as well. We're thankful for the mercy and grace of God seen through the blood of Christ. But I can tell you, we understand that this is what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to live faithfully. Well, the next psalm in this part is Psalm 64. Psalm 64. Hear me, my God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the plots of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent. They shoot suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares. They say, who will see it? They plot injustice and say, we have devised a perfect plan. Surely the human mind and heart are cunning. And we see that today, too, in all of the terrible things that are going on in our society, trying to polarize us and divide us on all sides. And that there is a cunning plan there to try to turn us against each other and away from our God and away from the life of faithfulness and responsibility and even common sense, the Proverbs writer would say. But let's hear what David has to say in answer to that. Again, continuing in Psalm 69. But God will shoot them with his arrows. They will suddenly be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. And isn't that the truth? Those words come back to haunt you. Unfortunately, sometimes, as the saying goes, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You talk about that and you hear accusations and you hear people plotting things. And then the next thing you know, they've been taken down by someone who did the same thing to them. All people will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. The righteous will rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. All the upright in heart will glory in him. We've seen it throughout already, haven't we? The call of the Old Testament to be serve God wholeheartedly, to be faithful and upright in heart, as the psalmist says here. Next psalm is Psalm 69. It's a little bit longer than the others that we'll look at today, but you're going to recognize some of the statements in this psalm, Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head, and many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I am forced to restore what I did not steal. And so the psalmist says there is some falsehood in what is being I'm being attacked for. People hate me without reason. They judge me without cause. But the psalmist also knows that he's somewhat responsible. You, God, know my folly. My guilt is not hidden from you. Lord, the Lord Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me. God of Israel, may those who seek you not be put to shame because of me. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. The psalmist says, I'm being attacked, but for good cause. Yeah, I haven't lived a perfect life, but, and I don't want anybody to fall away from the Lord because of me. But he says, shame covers my face because of the accusations that are being thrown at me. And then he continues, I am a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. Those are statements that certainly come up during the life of Jesus Christ. His own family would forsake him, and one of the reasons is what he says here, zeal for your house consumes me. And he was criticized for that. He was criticized for chasing the money changers out of the temple, for example. He was criticized for his understanding of the Sabbath, for his desire to serve even the least of these, as we might say, the bottom of the social scale of the people of his day. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. The psalmist says, part of the reason why they're attacking me is because of my faithfulness to you, God. And they're insulting me because they insult you. And I think as we continue down this road in our world, we understand that we may be facing that same kind of criticism. And will we hold true and faithful as the psalmist does? He continues, when I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, mourning about the situation that they're going through, people make sport of me. They make fun of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Even the drunkards are making fun of him and mocking him. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, assure me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Don't let me drown, he's saying. Don't let the floodwaters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love, and your great mercy turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. And have you felt that way? Looking for help, looking for comfort, looking for someone that perhaps would give you some encouragement in a very discouraging time. Instead, you're met with scorn and disgrace, enemies, shame. That's how the psalmist felt. And then he writes this line that is fulfilled in Jesus on the cross. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Such a horrible, cruel thing when you're thirsty to give someone vinegar, and yet they try to give Jesus wine vinegar as well. And we remember one of the words from the cross, I thirst. And they gave him a little bit of water, but there wasn't much help for Jesus. He's looking back at this psalm, Psalm 69. May the table set before them, my enemies, become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. We feel that way sometimes, don't we? And the psalmist puts it into words. And we think, well, didn't Jesus say, love your enemies and pray for them? Yes, he did, and that's how we should be. But as human beings, that's not where we are all the time. And it's natural for us to want vindication. It's natural for us to want justice. And it's even natural for us to want retribution. Scripture tells us to overcome evil with good and let God take care of it. And that's how Jesus survived the cross. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And that's what we have to do. The psalmist realized perhaps that was the goal, but what he was calling for was justice and vindication. And we understand that. And it helps us to read his words, because he's feeling the way we sometimes feel. Continuing in Psalm 69, I told you it was the longest one today. For they persecute those you wound and talk about the pain of those you hurt. Change them with crime upon crime. Charge them with crime upon crime. Excuse me. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. That sounds cruel, but what the psalmist is saying is don't let them get away with this. Don't let those who are evil be victorious. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I'm in their target. I'm in their sights. I'm the one that they're taking advantage of. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. we recognize the psalmist now is saying, I know what God wants. And we find it several times in the Old Testament, including in Psalms such as Psalm 50 and in this one. What does the Lord want? He wants us to glorify him genuinely from the heart, to worship him in song with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves, more than that animal sacrifice that the law requires. And so the psalmist David would still do that. But he recognizes that something more needs to come when you come before the Lord. And that's a heart full of gratitude and love and worship. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. The Lord hears the needy and does not despise his captive people. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. The children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there. The psalmist rests in what we need to rest in as well, and that is the ultimate justice and judgment of God. He praises God even before he's delivered, and we see that many times throughout the Psalms. The next psalm we have is Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And Lagarde Smith's title for this is Prayer for God's Presence Even in Old Age. So again, that's not inspired, but that's a good description of what we're about to read. Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. You see that recurring theme in these psalms, don't you? Because they can't find it in this world, but they can find their refuge, their rock, their fortress in the Lord God. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Again, the value of life, even in the womb, and also the recognition that God has been our God since the earliest of days. I have become a sign to many, the psalmist writes. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. I love that statement in this psalm, Psalm 71. Do not cast me away when I am old. Don't forsake me when my strength is gone. I know several, many older people that whose physical strength is gone, but whose spiritual strength is rock solid. We have one of our stalwart members, this wonderful, wonderful Christian woman who is in hospice care right now. And she's a member of our church and an older woman. And she has done exactly what the psalmist says. God has been her God since the time that she was young. What a blessing she has been. As for me, the psalmist writes, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I can't do that. As one person has said, if I were to count my many blessings, I can't count that high. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. What a great statement for our older members. And I count myself as one of those. But there are many that are much older. There are many that are much younger. But this should be our prayer as well. That we would declare the power of God to the next generation, his mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. The psalmist received the vindication that he asked for, perhaps, or he was just looking ahead, knowing that that vindication would come. Sorry about that. A little scratchy throat today. Now Psalm 86. Prayer for mercy in the face of my enemies. That's a recurring thing too, isn't it? Actually, water in the Whataburger cup. But there was Coke in it at one time. Diet Coke. Okay, get going, Bill. Psalm 86. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. Yet you, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you, and aren't we glad? Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Now these great words of faith. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's what God called himself when he appeared before Moses. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you, just as my mother did. This psalm is attributed to King David, and we don't hear much about David's mother, do we? He was the son of Jesse, we know that. But these great words, save me, David says, because I serve you just as my mother did. What a great statement. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Wonderful psalm, Psalm 86. Now we turn to Psalm 91. Just have a few more to go. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Resting under those wonderful wings of God, finding refuge like a baby bird is protected by its mother. Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near from your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all his ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You remember that one? Remember who quoted it? Come back to it in a minute. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's a promise from God to the one who seeks him. And again, these words from earlier in Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all his ways. Do you remember who said that? Well, it was Satan. And he was during the time when he was tempting Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. And he quoted this scripture. God will command his angels concerning you. And of course, as he does with the others, he misquotes. Because what this psalm is not saying is that God will never allow you to suffer physically or emotionally in this world. That promise has never been given. But he will command his angels concerning you. He will watch over you. He will bring you to ultimate deliverance, whether it's in this life or the next. And we see that clearly in the life of Jesus Christ. The Father didn't spare him from dying on that cross, but he did raise him from the dead 3 days later. And we know that Jesus, even though he died, lives forever. That's the promise that we have as well. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Great, great promises found in these psalms. Just a couple more. Psalm 95. This is a very famous one, or a very well-known one, let me put it that way. And we have a great song that comes from it. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. You remember that song, right? Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Almost word for word. In fact, it is word for word. That song, I think its title is Psalm 95, but I love it. Come, the psalm continues. Come, let us bow down and worship. And I think this has been put to that same tune. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, talking about during the days of Moses. Where your ancestors tested me, they tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This wonderful psalm of praise closes with a stern warning that we should not be unfaithful like those grumblers and complainers were in Moses' day. 1 Corinthians 10 also talks about these incidents. The writer of the book of Hebrews looks back on these things as well, as he uses Psalm 95 in one of his sermons, quoting Psalm 95, the writer of Hebrews does. It's time to learn from the mistakes of those in the past. Don't harden your hearts as they did back then, the psalmist says, because God was so angry with them that he says they would never enter my rest, and they didn't. The adults of that generation died during that 40-year span before they crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land, with the exception of two men, Joshua and Caleb. They were the only faithful ones. Psalm 95, I love it. One more, Psalm 121, and yes, I will sing a little bit, but this one's not very long either. This one's from our old hymnals. It's in our current hymnal, but we don't sing it very much, but it is an old hymn. Unlike Psalm 95 that was put to music only in the last several decades. This one goes back a little further than that. Psalm 121, it's one of the Psalms of Ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S, Ascents, and it is as they were ascending up the mountain to Jerusalem to worship. These are the songs they would sing, and in our songbook, it's Psalm 120 verses, Psalms 120 through 134, and it says, A Song of Ascents. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. Unto the hills around do I lift up my longing eyes. Oh, whence for me shall my salvation come? From whence arise? From God the Lord doth come my certain aid, from God the Lord whom heaven and earth hath made. It's a great song, and as we finish reading this psalm, you'll realize that the other verses in that hymn, Unto the Hills, come out of this as well. And this scripture, it finds itself in one of my favorite movies of all time, The Sound of Music. I remember the Mother Superior tells to Fräulein Maria when she and Captain Von Trapp are trying to escape the Nazis. They can't drive, and so they have to walk, and they see the mountains up ahead. And this psalm, Psalm 121, is quoted, Unto the hills around do I lift up, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. I think in some ways this psalm is contrasting the help of people who look to the hills for reinforcements, for more soldiers to come, versus those who look to the hills and see the Creator. And so let's read this psalm. I'll start it at the beginning, and then we'll be through. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What incredible promises, incredible relief that we find in these psalms, meant for a troubled heart, written by psalmists who write with a troubled heart. This afternoon, if you're going through difficulties like that, then let me tell you, the psalms are a great place to find that refuge. He is my rock. He is my salvation. In spite of all the others that attack and accuse and mock, we take refuge in the Lord God. We take refuge in the one who made heavens and earth, the one that we know will never sleep nor slumber, the one who we know will give us ultimate deliverance, just as he did his son in the midst of such pain and suffering. Still, Jesus would say on the cross, into your hands I commit my spirit. We do that too. And the psalmists give us help and encouragement along the way. I pray that this weekend you'll have a wonderful weekend, and you'll find yourself on the Lord's Day on Sunday remembering that one who died for us on the cross, that one who rose from the dead, that you'll remember the one who created all the good things that we see, the one who loved us so much that he gave his son so that we could be with him for all eternity. That is encouragement for a troubled soul. God bless.